Father, I pray that as we study, that we'll allow that to give us knowledge, and that knowledge will be turned into a belief, and that belief will be turned into a life change. God, we just thank you. We praise you for who you are today in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, we're going to get into our study tonight, Ecclesiastes. Go back into the book of Ecclesiastes, and as we get there and understand that we've been working through the book little by little, and it's been to me it's been a great study, a great reminder that Solomon, the wisest man in his day, was able to come to an understanding about God. And one of the things that I'm confident of is that we have part of our minds and our soul and our heart that we really don't expand it enough for God. Sometimes we have this understanding that God is big, and you know, but our prayers aren't really maybe believing or trusting that he could answer that at that moment. And one of the things that I've been challenged with in my life is to pray in the moment. Don't pray for the next. Pray in the moment. Whatever is going on in your life in the moment, that's what you pray for. You know, don't pray, you know, God, next week this is going on. Pray for the day. The more that we can keep our minds and our heart in the day, I really believe the more that we'll see God do some amazing things. Because if our mind is continuing on tomorrow, then we'll miss all the little blessings of the day. So stay in the day. And Solomon was able, I think, to get a hold of that. And he's talking about wisdom. We began this section last week. And Solomon was talking about man's ignorance of the significance between righteousness and wisdom. A lot of people think that if we live a very righteous life, then there'll be wisdom and that our lives will be okay. And there are individuals who believe that if they can live that righteous life, then no bad things will come into their life. That's not reality. God's never promised us a life with no bumps, no hiccups, no hurdles, no pain. That's part of the world we live in. All through the New Testament, Paul and Peter, James, count it all joy when they happen. Find your joy in the midst of it. To the scattered people, Peter writes, you know, there's joy in your persecution. And because we know that joy, to me, defining joy means the Christ that's in me. That's my joy. He, the joy of the Lord. Psalm says. So when we have that Christ in us, that's the joy. So no matter what's going on in our life, that joy ought to be seen. Christ ought to be seen. So Solomon is coming with this ignorance about righteousness and having wisdom with that. And a lot of that, basically, we saw last week in chapter 7, verses 15 through 18, we studied and understood that avoid depending on your righteousness and then living wickedly. And we got a world that is claiming to be, but living as. And I'm going to give you a quick illustration that happened to me today. I was talking with a family, talking with an individual, and he said, "Chaplain, I just want you to know that I don't go to church, but I have a great relationship with my God." I said, "Oh, well, tell me about that." And he simply said this. He said, "I will not go to church when the Christians stab you in the back on the way out smiling." Obviously, he got burnt at church. Obviously, something happened to him through church. And he's able to sit back and say, you know, I see their smiles, I hear their songs, I see their Sundays, whatevers. But he said, "I'm a mechanic and I have a garage. And I also know what they do to me." And so, listen, we're giving us a bad rap. Christians are giving Christians a bad rap. And so that's what Solomon says. Avoid depending on your righteousness and then living wickedly. Living like you know God doesn't want you to live. Now, I'm not going to define the wickedness, because some people define wickedness as, you know, the bad things of the world. And some people define wickedness as simply not listening to God. Not doing what God asks you to do. And I think all of the above works. So he studied through that in the verses there on how to live in light of God's being the God being the one that is also the author of adversity and also of prosperity. We know that God says, I will interchange those two things in your life so that man cannot figure out life. That is so foundational to you and I. Because we don't need to waste our time. We don't need to spend our time worrying and trying to figure life out. God's purposely putting things in our life so we can't. And so when you get that, you can say, you know what? Why do I need to know? I don't need to know. Because God knows. That's all I got to worry about. God's the one that I need to trust to get through whatever I may be going through, wherever I'm going to go through. God is the one that we find our trust in. Solomon says, realizing how do you live knowing that God is the in controller of the prosperity and the controller of the adversity. Now, God doesn't do bad things to us. But God, now I want to say this correctly, God uses anything and anyone, correct? To do whatever God needs done. That includes Satan. God will use, he allowed Satan to go after Job. God will use the brokenness of this world. God will use the sinfulness of this world to come and get us or attack us or give us those opportunities to either be tempted for good or bad. God will use them. It's part of that plan of putting things together. But what Solomon, I believe, is teaching in that part of it is that we just simply need to trust God in the midst of that. So when we do, today we're going to look at verses 19 and following through verse 24 of chapter 7. Because what we find today in this chapter, in 19 and following, is basically wisdom is very valuable. Okay, I mean, obviously, you got to have wisdom, and it's very valuable. And as valuable as the wisdom is, it still is not in of itself adequate protection. We will not always choose right. So it's not always going to be adequate protection. Even though we need wisdom, it's very valuable. And so we find in verse 19 of chapter 7, of Ecclesiastic, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sin not. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servants curse thee. For oft times also thy own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. I'm going to pause there in verse 22, because as we see this, what Solomon is doing as he's looking at this wisdom in verse 19, excuse me, wisdom cannot always protect us from adversity. It's just not going to be done. We saw that in the verses 15 and 16. As Solomon says in verse 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. All the things I've seen in my life, my meaningless vanity, meaningless life, all those things I've seen. And he says now here that those things that he has seen basically demonstrate that we are not protected from adversity. R.C. Sproul, I don't agree with everything that man believes in, but he wrote a book, Surprised by Suffering. And then underneath it, it says, why are Christians surprised by suffering? And it's a very good book. If you happen to get it and read it, it's very knowledgeable on the process that we should not be surprised when God allows us to go through things. Because he's doing that for the purpose that we saw in the beginning of chapter 7. So with that being said, he also demonstrates from his own experiences, we'll see as we follow down through the text. So in verse 19, we see this, and the protective power of wisdom. We need to have the wisdom. It's very important that we have wisdom. And the wisdom is tremendous strength. In fact, in verse 19, it states that it is mightier than 10 men that are in the city. So we need to understand, when you go to Proverbs, and Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge it wisdom applied. So if you have knowledge and you apply it correctly, that's wisdom. So what he's saying here is that our fear of God is the beginning point of having extreme wisdom. Because if we had the proper fear of God, we would not make as many wrong choices as we do. If every time before we would choose something, we would simply say, okay, I'm going to answer for this one. Now, we know that to be true. Scripture says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And that we will give an account. We will give an answer. God will reveal the secret things of our life. So we will give an account of everything and all of that. So if we would consciously tell ourselves that every time we make a choice, and that's what wisdom is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is wisdom. So wisdom, again, makes us very powerful in our understanding. Verse 20 through 22, what we find here is the need for wisdom basically is here made for the word for or indeed. Solomon is noting that we need it for, or we need it because we need it. So why do we need it? Verse 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we depended on our righteous living, we are in trouble, because our righteous living is not going to guarantee an easy life. In fact, our righteous living, I think, will even entice Satan to want to come after us even more. Listen, you don't have to mess with people that don't bother you, right? I mean, Satan says, listen, there's a Christian and he's not quite living the right life for God anyway. I can leave him alone because he's already messed up. But then you go over here and there's a person living for God and he's really strong for God and he's doing all that he wants to do for God and he's determined. And we've seen this through the RU program. You see this through individuals. They make a choice that I'm done. I'm going to do better. But not many of them succeed. Because when the tough start coming, the hard days start coming, they go back to their comfort zone, which isn't God. So not one man. And I think that verse is huge because it explains for us the why we need wisdom. Wisdom will keep us out of a lot of trouble with God. Applying that wisdom, basically just the righteousness is ineffective. Verse 21 says, take heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse. And again, 22, for oftentimes also thine own heart knows that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Now, when we say the word curse, what comes to mind? Obviously, we know that word. That word is a curse word. But when you understand what it says here, this concept of cursed or revealed, you in your own thoughts, or you in your own under your breath, or you in your own to a third person where that person is not even there, you know you've talked about people. You know you've said things about people. And there's nobody in this sanctuary today that hasn't done that. We've all done that. And that's what Solomon's saying. You can't count on, if I live the righteous life, that I will be okay. The problem with that is you're not going to live the righteous life. Nobody will. So if that's, it's inadequate. It's that alone is inadequate to be able to live that. So it says, be careful to the words, that all the words that are spoken. And I want to try to define that a little bit. Be careful to all the words that are spoken. Because there are some good-hearted people that are absolutely clueless in what they're saying. Be careful what you listen to from other people. Because other people have different opinions than you do. Other people have different ways of living life than you do. And if you listen to every word, now this listening is more than just, okay, in one ear, not the other. This listening is, I hear what you're saying and it's really starting to affect me. Be careful, because as Solomon says in verse 21, take no heed unto all the words. Don't listen. Listen, because somebody else has a different opinion, so what? Who cares? Because your opinion is not going to run my life. My opinion should not run your life. The truth of the Word of God runs our life. So because you see it one way and I see it a different way, or somebody else sees something, then we're talking life, not the scriptures. There's only one way to see the scriptures, and that's God's way. But I'm talking life. We all have different opinions. We all have different ways of doing things. And different needs to be okay. We are living in a world today where different is not okay. Different jobs, different incomes, different color of skin, different everything. It's not okay. Listen, the last time I looked, there is only one race, and all men bleed red. There's one race. And I heard recently, I thought it'd be kind of neat. I hopefully it's true and it's going to follow through. But Ken Ham, after building the Ark and building his little amusement, he's now going to build a Tower of Babel, because that is going to be used to explain to a world where all the races come from. I think that's phenomenal. Now, I'm not sure how high he's going to build it. I'm not sure how high they got it, but in scriptures, it got pretty high. Just to build that, to explain, this is where the races come from. Races came from disobedience to God. Because God said, listen, you need to spread. You need to go around. And they said, no, we're going to stay. And when they decided to stay, first disobedience step, second disobedience step, we're good enough to get to heaven by what we do. You see, they thought they could build a tower to God. And so put that into a principle. People think that they're good enough to go to God their own way on what they do. And that's not scripture at all. So in their process of building, all of a sudden, the guy below me, I'm speaking a language and I ask him for a brick and he can't understand what I'm saying, because all of a sudden everybody started speaking different languages. Listen, that's a divine act of God. That's not something that they dreamed up. And therefore, each one that spoke that language then was moved to different areas of the world. God is the one who had established the difference because of the disobedience of man. Interesting, and he's going to put that out. So I thought that was kind of nice. But getting back to where we are, that get them rabbit trails in, you know. So when we see what God is doing, and again, the absence of true righteousness is easily seen in how we practice our life. The absence of true righteousness is easily seen in how we practice our life. Verse 21 says that. Take heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse you. True righteousness is not lived every day in everybody's life. Very important point. So we get down to verse 23 and 24. Solomon now immediately adds that wisdom also has its limitations. In verse 23, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? So again, verse 23 and 24 says, Solomon brings it into his own personal life and says, I proved by wisdom. I have proved by my own wisdom that, verse 23, I will be wise, but it was far from me. Solomon said, I've asked, I wanted, I tried to have the wisdom, and I proved to myself it didn't happen. You know, it's like when you get older, the mind says go for it, and the body says ain't happening. The same concept. Because what Solomon is saying is, I wanted the true wisdom. Now, we know that Solomon was the wisest man of his day, correct? But he was wise enough to gain gold that God said no. He was wise enough to have all the horses and army that God said no. He was wise enough to have all the 700 wives and concubines that God said no. Even Solomon in his wisdom was not wise in everything. How do we think we can be any different? Just because we have an understanding of something doesn't mean that we will always be wise in it. So Solomon begins to use his own deal and his own understanding of that wisdom. And again, it didn't work for him. And he also noted that nobody can comprehend or grasp what is happening. Verse 24, that which is afar off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? Who knows? I love it when Paul says that he prayed for them to for have the understanding of God, the depth, the breadth, the height of who God is. Can we know that this side of heaven? There's no way. There is no way that we can know how big our God is. our feeble minds will never understand it. But Solomon says very easily that in this verse that we cannot comprehend or grasp. But how many of us have prayed to God and tell him what he needs to do? Or say to God, listen, this God, why? You know, we want to, and I look at it this way. Whenever we ask the why question, if God told us the truth, we would not be able to handle it. If God gave us the answer to the why question, we couldn't handle it because our minds could never handle that information. God says, I have given you everything you need, but it's the handling of all his information. We can't handle the information, so don't ask why. Easier said than done, I'm sure. I've asked it myself many times. So as we see this, and again, Solomon brings this to a close here in verse 24. And again, as we see this comprehending, you know, whatever happens lies beyond our grasp. It's deep down. Verse 24 says, who can find it out? So we're gonna wait to get into 25 next week about the true righteousness and the true wisdom are basically it just doesn't exist. But I thought very important to stop it there because we need enough to realize that our wisdom is not going to be enough. Our righteousness is not going to be enough. We have to have an application. We have to apply God. We have to live for God and in his way. And as Solomon stated in verse 23 and 24, that he proved to himself, just can't do it, just can't get there. And what I've found out in my life, and I think it's true in all of our lives, until we come to that point when we finally give it up, we finally stop trying to run it, stop trying to control it, stop trying to make it work, boy, we see God in an amazing way because he is already working it. He's already making it happen. And we just need to get out of the way and let God do what God wants to do. He is the one who's able to do it. Let's bring our study to prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the study. And